Hello everybody, this is Chandradasa from the Buddhist Centre online at thebuddhistcentre.com, and we're here at Aryaloka Retreat Centre in New Hampshire in the United States for the 2014 Tree Ratna Buddhist Order North Yay! American Convention. And you just heard the voice of my new wonderful comrade in arms, Manida, who's going to be helping us do some interviews during this. Hi, Manida.
Hi.
Do you want to say hello to folks, say where you're from, etc.?
Hello, everyone. I'm from Tacoma, Washington, which is about 50 minutes south of Seattle. And this is my first North American convention, my second convention. I was at the European Order Convention in August, and it's just great to be here.
When did you join the Order?
I joined in July of 2013.
Whoa. We'll no doubt hear more from you about your impressions so far. But today we have our first guest in our occasional Buddhist Voices series, taking advantage of his relatively rare presence at Aryaloka, I suppose.
Yes.
This is Dayamati.
Thank you. Yes, I was ordained in 2000, in January 2000, in India. And it was almost the last formal event from the Tree Ratna Buddhist Order that I've been involved in.
So, and there you go, folks, a model of order engagement.
And that's been because I've been living far away from places where there are centers. I was living in Montreal. While I was there, I came here, and I brought students from McGill University and taught a course here. Mm. And for the students, it was a very enriching experience because they were in a practice community and learning about Buddhism in a very different way than in a classroom. But then I was offered a job at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so I've been living there since 2003. And that is about 1,000 miles from Missoula.
Yeah.
Or with 1,600 kilometers, if for people who are metric, and about the same distance from San Francisco.
Wow.
So I've been fairly isolated, and only recently I've been part of an online chapter for the last year.
Can you tell us a little more about that? Because I was really intrigued with what you're talking about and how that experience was for you.
Yeah, I had been to chapter meetings in Aryaloka, and found it very enriching. I love the process, and I've often been reminded of something that Bhante said, that someone who's not in a chapter is only half an order member, so, you know, so,
right.
Something along those lines. And I think that there's a sense in which it really is such an enriching part of one's practice, or at least it was of my practice, that I missed it when I moved away. And so last year, I was invited to participate in an online chapter that has someone from Vancouver, someone from now in Seattle, someone in Maine, and myself in New Mexico, and two people in Mexico. Mm. So we cover all four time zones. Mm. And at first, I was a little concerned that it might not be as easy to communicate in the depth that a chapter meeting can get into. In addition to which, I didn't know, I had never met, four of the people who are in the chapter face to face. So I was not sure how it would work out, but it proved to work out very well. I've really found it, I would say, as enriching as an in-face chapter meeting. And we have developed the ability to get to issues very quickly and in depth, as happens at chapter meetings.
As someone who runs an online Buddhist center that's very new and a bit experimental, I'm very happy to hear that. So, listen, rewinding, I was just thinking maybe we'll see you again in 2028, which will be the next time your comet will come through. but rewinding, although we haven't seen you much here, you're actually relatively well known in some circles, at least, for a couple of reasons. And one is you wrote quite a successful book, at least in Tree Ratna terms, called Land of No Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
Be good to hear you talk a little bit about that, and actually your ongoing role as somebody who's involved in the consultation process around order names.
Mm-hmm.
When people get given a name as an order member, they consult some experts, and you're one of the experts.
Okay, first the book. I was in a Zen community at the time that I put that book together, and the Buddhist name I was given in the Zen community was it was a Korean Zen setting, and so I was given the name Mubal, which means no Buddha. Mm-hmm. And I remember telling a friend of mine that I had been given that Buddhist name, and he said, "Is that equivalent to Nietzsche's The Death of God?"
Whoa.
I said, "Not quite." It has a fairly particular meaning within Zen. But because my name literally meant no Buddha, and the book was a collection of essays about Buddhism in North America, I just decided to call it Land of No Buddha. Mm. By the time it was published, I was in the FWB, the Friends of the Western Buddhist Order, and it was published through Windhorse. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Dhammarati, who's on this retreat, designed the cover of that
he
book.
He did. Yeah.
So the book, I guess it was moderately successful. I don't know how successful it was because I actually signed all of the royalties to Arya Loka, and so they received reports, but eventually I got a report that it was no longer going to be in print.
Mm. We must do something about that, actually. We must get an online version or something.
I remember
reading it as a young man, actually, and thinking, this is cool. This is different from the kinds of books on Buddhism I've read from Windhorse before.
Well, you know, I could easily put together some kind of an online version of it.
Let's talk about that. That'd be great.
Yeah. So that's the book. Actually, most of the essays were written in the late 80s or early 90s. Some of them in the 90s, but it's sort of out of date in some ways by now. And you've probably read it more recently than I have, so maybe you can tell me.
I read it at the time, actually, when it came out. So it's interesting that partly comes from the name you had in the Zen monastery. I mean, for listeners who won't know what your name means, what's the meaning of your name, Dayamati?
It means having thoughts of kindness, having kind thoughts. So, you know, Daya is a word for kindness or compassion, and Mati, of course, is mind or thought. And you asked about the procedure of checking names. So there's a group of people who have studied Sanskrit in the order. It's challenging for preceptors, private preceptors who usually choose a candidate's name, to find a name that's meaningful, that is grammatically correct. And so they've been advised to check with scholars of Sanskrit to make sure that a name means what they think it means. Because sometimes you could look up a word in a dictionary and get some idea of it, but if you're not, don't use the language, you may not realize that it has certain connotations other than what it says in the dictionary. So when a private preceptor approaches one of the scholar then responds and sends the response on to other scholars. And so by the time a name has been approved, it's been approved by at least four people.
Are we allowed to ask what the dodgiest name you've ever had to turn down?
He's not answering.
He's taking the Fifth Amendment on.
So what do you think about the convention so far?
Oh, I'm really enjoying it. First of all, because I've always wanted to attend a convention. But because I've been in the academic world and the semester begins in September and these things are always scheduled in September or late August, I've never been able to come. So when I heard that it was going to be held, I was delighted. And when I heard that it was going to be at Arya Loka, with which I have a history, I was especially delighted. Really looked forward to meeting a lot of new people that I've heard of. Mm. But haven't met and reconnecting with old friends. Mm. So I've just been ecstatic the whole time I've been here. I've just really been enjoying it.
Yeah, great.
Do you think it'll help sustain you when you go back to Albuquerque?
Definitely it will, because it's put me in a different kind of contact. I mean, I've been in contact by reading Shabda, which I read, and communicating by email with individual friends. But I find that it reinforces the love that I've had for the order, despite being separated from it for so long. The idea of the order, you might say, or the way that the practices have been transmitted down to us, I've just always felt that it was just the right combination of a kind of, within Buddhism, an ecumenical atmosphere, not beholden to any one lineage of Buddhism or any one style of Buddhism. And I think what inspires me when I come here is just seeing the quality of the people who have been doing this, you know, people who are newly ordained and people who have been ordained for some time. You just see that they're very fine people. And it makes me have even more confidence that it really works. It's not just not just in theory, but it really works.
That's great to hear. Well, I think that's probably it for this particular edition of Buddhist Voices. I'm just noticing the sound. I don't know if you can hear this in the background, but that sound is the sound of crickets, which seems like a very good place to leave it for somebody who's come from a Zen tradition into our tradition. The sound of crickets, a silence
the
in
land
the background.
Of no crickets.
The land of no crickets. This is the land of many crickets. Thanks very much, Diamond, for taking the time.
Much.
Lovely
you.
To see you.
Good to see you.
Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
And thanks to Manida. We'll be back tomorrow and all through the weekend with more talks and pictures and some more Buddhist voices. But for now, good night from Arya Loka.
Good night.
Good night.